Today I'm speaking on, hopefully, sought by the Lord. And I want to talk about from the book of Matthew. Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea during the reign of King Herod. About that time, some wise men from eastern lands arrived in Jerusalem asking, "Where is the newborn King of the Jews? We saw his star as it rose, and we have come to worship him." King Herod was deeply disturbed when he heard this, as was everyone in Jerusalem. He called a meeting of the leading priests and teachers of religious law and asked, "Where is the Messiah supposed to be born?" "In Bethlehem in Judea," they said, "for this is what the prophet wrote, 'And you, O Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, and are not least among the ruling cities of Judah, for a ruler will come from you who will be the shepherd for my people Israel.'" Then Herod called for a private meeting with the wise men, and he learned from them the time when the star first appeared. Then he told them, "Go to Bethlehem and search carefully for the child, and when you find him, come back and tell me so that I can go and worship him too." After this interview, the wise men went their way, and the star they had seen in the east guided them to Bethlehem. It went ahead of them and stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they were filled with joy. They entered the house and saw the child with his mother Mary, and they bowed down and worshipped him. Then they opened their treasure chest and gave him gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. When it was time to leave, they returned to their own country by another route, for God had warned them in a dream not to return to Herod. Lord, we look at this story, one that we know well. But let us see the places where you touched the Magi, where you are a God who meets us where we're at. You don't ask us to come up to a certain level. You meet us in the brokenness, in the darkness. You lovingly reach out to us. We celebrate this season. And we have to remember the fact that this cute baby that was born to have nails through his hands and feet. Because you longed for us to take the opportunity of eternal life with you. And I pray, Father, that we would respond today, that we wouldn't just sit here and maybe we know the story and just kind of go through the motions, but we would allow your spirit, Lord, to speak to us, to speak to me. Let us be open vessels today in your name. Amen. You know, I shared this example before, but, you know, my dad graduated college and he taught in New York City for 3 or 4 years. Then he got a job teaching at Morrisville College. And he was an English teacher at Morrisville. And he started in the mid-50s and 60s where it was called Morrisville Agricultural and Technical College. It was a college where a lot of farmers in New York, in central New York, would go and learn how to run a farm. And then later on, in the later years, you know, he had a lot more, you know, students from Brooklyn, from Bedford-Stuyvesant, from the inner city. And the one thing that I learned from my dad was, you hit people, you meet people where they're at. He knew if you have a farmer from Madison County coming to Morrisville College, they weren't going to be English scholars. But he would teach them the basics, you know, write 10 sentences a day. This is a floor. The floor has a rug. The rug is blue. You know, just to get them here to here. And one of the things that he taught me was, don't try to force people to be at the level you want them to be at. God wasn't like that. You know, hit them where they're at and help them grow. Don't speak down to them. Don't, you know, when I started teaching, I shared this before, one thing my dad took me aside and said, be kind to the janitors and make friends with the lunch people because you're all the same. And this section of Matthew We see a powerful testimony, an example of God hitting people where they're at and bringing them to salvation. God got a hold. He got the attention of the wise men. He led them to Jesus, where it tells us they worshiped him. Joy to the world says, let every heart prepare him room. You know what's kind of cool? Jesus left heaven for you. Jesus left heaven for you and me. I think that's powerful. You know, let's do some background. If you look up there, can I kindly say that scene isn't true? Because if you look in the upper right-hand corner, you see three magi. By the way, we don't know there's three. The Bible doesn't tell us how many. And they didn't arrive till a year or two after Jesus was born. So even that's cute little nativity thing, it's off base. But that's okay. God forgives us. The wise men were probably from Persia, and they specialized in astrology. Some of them specialized in the interpretation of dreams and magic. Pastor Greg Laurie says, i.e., they knew the occult pretty well. First point we're going to take, accept the guidance of God. You know, why do people say they probably arrived a year or two after Jesus was born? Because Herod later on has every baby boy in the area from the age of 2 and under killed. And also says, it said in Matthew that they went to Joseph's house. So Joseph, they're not in a manger. He now has a house. And in fact, like I said, these facts are secondary. We don't know. I've read in some commentaries there might have been 2 wise men. There might have been 8. You know, it doesn't really matter. What matters is God hit them where they're at. How did he first get their attention? They were into astrology. He used a star. They could relate to that. And how did he tell them to go home another way? He gave them a dream. So this is the God I'm talking about. I'm not talking about a pious God who's up there. Maybe your life isn't where you want it to be. Maybe, whatever. I mean, I met my wife in a bar. So I tell people, God goes to bars. Because we met, we started dating. 4 days later, his mother brought me to Jesus Christ. God hit me where I'm at, and God wants to hit you where you're at. Now, let me say this. Obviously, the Bible isn't endorsing astrology. I don't care what sign you are. My sign is Christian. I'm Jesus. But God relates to us in a way we understand. They responded correctly. They saw the star and they went. My question to you this morning, how are you going to respond to Jesus? Please don't just say, I'm here, it's a Christmas service, I'm glad they're not doing a night thing so I can do more, but let God speak to you today. We're going to look at Herod, who was plagued by pride. He was plagued by fear of rivals. In fact, in some ways, some of the commentaries I read, they called him the Messiah. So when he heard the Messiah was born, whoa, you're stepping on his toes. Pride consumed him and deceived him. You know, we look in Matthew 2:6, it says, And you, O Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are not least among the ruling cities of Judah, for a ruler will come from you who will be the shepherd of my people, Israel. So he asked, and he wasn't open. Put feet to your faith. The wise men traveled maybe 800 to 900 miles on their journey. The religious leaders couldn't make a short trip to the manger to see the Messiah because he didn't fit into their preconception of how God was going to move. So we have some men, astrology, interpretation of dreams, not in a good way. They went for years to see the king. How far are we willing to move? Are we willing, and I'm talking to myself now, to move off the throne of my opinion? Are we willing to give up our hopes and our dreams and our plans? Say, Jesus, it's all about you. See, Herod and the religious leaders were caught in a trap that, excuse me, happens to the church. We get too caught up in our own lives that we don't make room for Jesus. You know, Jesus wasn't some stuffed shirt. I was talking to somebody recently. It's always interesting talking to somebody. Then they find out what you do, and their whole body changes. For some reason, they stiffen up. I was talking to one lady. She goes, I like gospel music. Yay. I don't. I like contemporary, but I didn't say that. So you tell people, I'm really not a religious person. And they think you're nuts. Jesus went not from rags to riches. He went from riches to rags for you and for me. Who will you seek? That's a question we all have to answer. You see, Christmas is about celebrating Jesus. We get so familiar with the story that we become indifferent to it. You know, I said for years, this time of year, it's like, I know what I'm going to be speaking on come December. The religious people could not meet the Messiah, the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, the religious leaders, because they couldn't let go of their own lives. What will man, you know, the Bible says, you know, if you hang on to it, you're going to lose everything. But if you let go of your life for Jesus Christ, you gain everything. There is a joy that everybody can experience. But I'm going to say this. Without a personal relationship with Jesus Christ, there is an eternal soul-grabbing joy. There's no way you can experience it because it comes from the hand of God. And the thing I love about this section of Matthew is it just shows us where God hits us where we're at. You know, I've had people say to me, well, I'll come to church when I'm doing better. That's really kind of stupid. If you break your leg, you don't let it heal, then you go to the ER, I hope. You know, if you put your hand on a hot stove and it's bubbling, your flesh is, you don't wait for it to heal, you go to the ER. So if you're doing bad, you're broken, let God touch you today. I love, you know, C.S. Lewis writes, the birth of Christ is a central event in the history of the earth, the very thing the whole story has been about. We're living in a country that downgrades Christ. We're about to enter the year 2024. 2024 years after what? The birth of Jesus. So if our calendar acknowledges this, God help us that we don't acknowledge it. So we need to put feet to your faith, and God is calling us to come deeper and deeper and to surrender everything to him. You know, the last point I'm going to make is, you know, he came for all of us. How about, I love the woman at the well. She'd been married 5 times. And she's shacking up with a guy. She comes at the hottest part of the day to get her water. Why? Because she was an outcast. She was a woman of ill repute. She was a broken woman, misused by men, and she didn't want to see people. Jesus reaches out to her. Hey, can I drink from your cup? You're a Samaritan. I mean, I'm a Samaritan. You're a Jew. Wow. One of the most powerful teachings, I think, on racism and prejudice in the world. Jesus reached out to her. He hit her where she's at. He didn't start open the Bible. No, he struck up a conversation. When we share our faith with people, strike up a conversation. Talk to them. I went and got gas this week, and it's one of the places where they pump it for you. But I said, no, man, I'm good. Started to drive away. God said, talk to the man. So I go in and I shared with him. You know, he believes in everything, but that's okay. It was a start. But you touch people where they're at. How about Zacchaeus? He was a wee little man. A wee little man was he. Yeah, he went up into a sycamore tree. You see, Jesus, he wanted to see something like that. Anyways, he was a tax collector. He was the IRS on steroids. Jesus touched him. Are we going to touch people like that? Jesus touched him. How about Matthew, the tax collector? He became a disciple. The woman caught in adultery. You who were without sin, cast the first stone. I always wondered where the man was, because he's supposed to get the same punishment, but that's okay. So what am I trying to say today? You're never too broken for Jesus. Maybe your life isn't going the way that you want it to, but that's okay. We're here temporarily. We have an eternity with God. I remember a friend of ours, Joanne, who couldn't grasp that God loved her because of the terrible things her stepfather did to her. How could a God love me if my own father and mother couldn't love me? But she came to know the Lord. I have friends that have been in jail for the worst crimes. One friend of mine for a couple decades. But Jesus restores him. Jesus is reached this Christmas. Let God touch you. Jesus relates to your struggle. I mean, it's the most wonderful time of the year. Some people say, no, it isn't. Because my life stinks right now. That's okay. You see, Jesus was despised and rejected. He was a man of sorrows. He was acquainted with the deepest grief. We turned our backs on him and looked the other way. He was despised. We didn't care. I know what it's like to wake up in the middle of the night just full of depression. Nope, thinking about the joy of the Lord. Think, man, God, I want that. What I'm saying to you today is Jesus came for you. And maybe you've had that relation with him for years, but it's time today for us to say, yes, God. You see, God understands whatever you're going through. He knows the suffering that comes from being alone. He endured sorrow. In grief, he was outcast and despised. He had a big following. Then all of a sudden, they all left him when the going got tough. You see, Jesus can relate to you. That's why God hit the wise men where they're at. You see, they came and they gave him frankincense because that's what a high priest used when he went to the temple to represent the people. It was used to worship a deity. Myrrh. Gold was a gift for a king, and myrrh was to prepare a body for burial. It was symbolic of what Jesus was going to come through. Because we got it cute. I mean, babies are cute for the most part. I've seen some ugly ones, but I think this one's good. I remember when my oldest was born, I thought, whoa, we got a cone head, but then it came back to normal. Nothing sacred. That crib became that cross. There's one way to heaven. That's through Jesus Christ. Maybe you don't have gold to give to God, frankincense and myrrh, but you got you. God says, I stand at the door and knock. If you hear my voice and open the door, I will come in and we will share a meal together as friends. So in a few moments, I'm just going to close. We're going to close our eyes. I'm going to pray. Jesus was born in Bethlehem. Jesus Christ died on a cross, but he rose again. The grave couldn't hold him. And I learned years ago, I didn't want the penalty for my sins to be on my life because I knew when I died, I'd go to hell. So I asked God to forgive me. And I ask Christ to take control, take the wheel, Lord. So just close your eyes. And right now, Lord, I don't know everybody in the room, don't know where they're at, but you do. Lord, I love the story of the wise men. You got their attention by something they were devoted to, astrology. You used a star. And when it was time for them to leave, you gave them dreams so they knew, don't go back through the way of Herod, who wanted to kill Jesus. You hit them where they were at. You hit them in a way they could relate to you, God. Sometimes we think we have to be high and mighty, that you're unattainable. But Lord, you know what it's like to have sorrow and pain and grief. We look at the woman at the well, the woman caught in adultery. Lord, we look at the Old Testament example of David, who slept with another man's wife and had that man killed so he could have her. But when you confronted him, he repented. And you call him a man after your own heart. And we look at Paul, wonderful man, murderer, before his days with you. The wise men allowed you to lead them. And the scriptures tell us they gave gift and they worshiped Jesus. Let us worship you, which means let us give you all of our lives today. And Lord, maybe we've been Christians for years. Let us right now in this moment dedicate our lives to you, commit to you again. And maybe you've never made that decision for Jesus. All you have to do is say yes as I'm praying here. And if you did that, I mean, God is standing at your door knocking. Please don't let this opportunity leave you. He sent his son so that you could have eternity in heaven with him. But it requires that commitment and that repentance, that seeking of forgiveness. So Lord, touch us today and be glorified in your name. Amen.
Stars are brightly shining. It is the night of our dear Savior's birth. Long lay the world in sin and error pining, till he appeared and the soul
by the light of faith serenely beaming, with glowing hearts by his cradle we stand. So led by light of a star sweetly gleaming, here came the wise men from Orient land. The King of Kings lay thus in lowly manger, in all our trials born to be our friend. He knows our need. To our weakness is no stranger. Behold your King. Before him lowly bend. Behold your King. Before him lowly bend. Truly he taught us to love one another. His law is love, and his gospel is peace. Chains shall he break, for the slave is our brother, and in his name all oppression shall cease. Sweet hymns of joy in grateful chorus waves we let all within us praise his holy name. Christ is the Lord. Oh, praise his name forever. His power and glory evermore shall claim. His power and glory evermore proclaim. So fall on your knees, oh, hear the angel voices, oh, night divine.
Merry Christmas, everybody. We love you. Greet one another. Amen.